You are listening to the Practical Islamic Finance Podcast. We hope you find it useful and fun. Anything you hear in this podcast is not to be understood as personalized financial or investment advice and only represents the views of the speaker. Investing entails risk, including loss of principal. Be sure to do your own due diligence before making any investment decisions. Some of the episodes of the podcast are audio versions of corresponding Practical Islamic Finance YouTube videos. If you want to watch the video version of the podcast, simply go to the Practical Islamic Finance YouTube channel. Now, without further ado, bismillah, let's get started.
All right, so a bit of an update on my stay here in Turkey, since many of you have been asking. Specifically, I'm going to focus on my Airbnb odyssey, if you will. And at the end of the video, I'm going to let you know how much I'm paying in rent here in Fethiye, Turkey, which is on the southern coast of Turkey, to be exact. To start, let me tell you a bit about the visas here in Turkey. A tourist visa is very easy to get. I think it costs around $50 right now. You can get it at the airport or electronically, and it will allow you to stay in Turkey for 3 months. If you would like to extend your stay beyond 3 months, you have to apply for something called temporary residency, which will allow you to extend your stay from 6 months to 1 year. Although today people are telling me that they're basically only extending for 6 months at a time. In order to apply for temporary residency, you actually have to have rented out a place here in Turkey to stay for the 6 months that you would like to extend your stay for. The problem with this is that in Turkey, you pay rent in advance, and typically rental agreements extend for 1 year and not just 6 months. Additionally, when you're renting out a place for your temporary residency application, you have to find a place that isn't in a predominantly touristy area because the Turkish government limits the amount of foreign inhabitants in a certain area to 25%. So if it's above 25%, they'll stop issuing temporary residencies for that particular area. So in your first 3 months here in Turkey, you have to find a place, rent it out for 6 months, if you can, to 1 year, pay in advance for the rent, and then apply for temporary residency, which you may or may not get. So you run the risk of renting out a place and then not getting approved for temporary residency. Also, Airbnbs are not accepted. If you rent out an Airbnb for 6 months, let's say, this is not acceptable for your temporary residency application. You have to actually have a direct contract with the owner of the property and apply with that rental agreement for your temporary residency. Needless to say, the process could use improvement. Now, my wife and I's plan was to rent out with an Airbnb, and then, if we liked the property, we liked the area, to extend our stay through a rental agreement directly with the property's owner. So we initially rented out a Airbnb for 1 month and figured during this month, we'd look for places to stay longer term. The place was nice, the initial place that we rented out. By the way, something about Turks is that they're very clean. They're clean in their houses, they're clean in their places of business. They tend to be extremely clean with everything. The problem with the first property that we rented was that it was in an area that was somewhat distant from the city center, and there wasn't a continuous sidewalk that we could walk on to get to where we wanted to go. Renting a taxi every time is kind of inconvenient, especially when you have a stroller. And we weren't ready to buy or rent a car yet, obviously, since we still didn't have temporary residency. So towards the end of our first months in Turkey, we rented out the next Airbnb. We were really excited about it with the understanding that we were going to try it out first. And if we like the place, we can sign a longer term rental agreement with the owner. Then after renting it out, we got a WhatsApp message from the host basically saying Airbnb was forcing them to give out discounted prices and they weren't comfortable with the price that we got, basically begging us to cancel the reservation because otherwise Airbnb would not allow them to cancel our reservation or would penalize them if they did that. Anyway, the point is they couldn't cancel it. They needed us to cancel it. I thought about it. I was like, okay, I'm not going to stay in a place where the host isn't happy to have us. So I agreed to cancel. The problem was we only had about 48 hours before our initial rental was going to expire and we needed to find a new place to stay. So I got on Airbnb again. I found another place. Not as good of a location as the first one that we were excited about, but better than where we were, and it would have to do considering our time constraints. So we get there the day of the move-in, and the place was a nightmare. There was a number of issues with the property. Most notably, the ceilings were low. We both bumped our heads on the ceiling the first day we got there. Now, by the way, in retrospect, there were some obvious red flags that we could have paid attention to, and I want to mention them so that you don't make the same mistakes, or at least they serve as a reminder, because if you asked me before this incident whether I knew these things, I would tell you, of course I know them. But then I guess I needed a reminder of them. Here's your reminder. The first is, don't rent or buy something from someone who seems eager to rent or sell to you. This person was eager to rent us. You could tell by how flexible he was on the price, how he would constantly message and check if we had reserved yet. So lesson learned, never rent or buy anything from someone who is very eager to sell to you. The second red flag is that the images showed a slanted ceiling in the property. I later put two and two together and figured out that the slanted ceiling meant that it used to be an attic, but they converted it into a property for rent. Despite the description of the property not including this pretty important nugget of information, in retrospect, the slanted ceilings should have been a giveaway. The third red flag is that there were no reviews on the property yet. However, the reviews on the host were actually quite good. So we figured, considering the host's reviews, we think the description of the property is probably accurate, and therefore, let's go ahead and rent it. So the lesson here is avoid renting anything on Airbnb that doesn't have reviews. You don't need to be the Airbnb trailblazer. Have someone else do the trailblazing for you. Hindsight is always 20/20, but I say these things so that you can watch out for them. So after we move into this place with very low ceilings, I send the host a text basically saying, thank you for agreeing to host us, but we have to cancel. We would like a refund, because at the time I had paid for the entire month. The host did not agree to cancel our reservation and was not too keen on the refund idea. The particular property cancellation policy basically said that if the host cancels, the customer will get a refund, but if the customer cancels, they get no refunds. So we needed him to cancel to get a refund, but he would not. Anyway, I wasn't going to stay in that place for one more day, which my wife and I affectionately refer to as the grave, because another thing about this property is that really didn't get much sunlight at all. And we're in Fethiye, which is, you know, one of the most sunniest places on earth. But when you were in that house, you did not feel that. So back to Airbnb I went. And by the way, this is one of the pros of renting through Airbnb, is you have this third party, which is Airbnb, that can resolve any conflicts that may happen between you and the host. So before getting this issue resolved, I wanted to move my family out of that place as quickly as possible. So I went back to Airbnb and I found a place. It was right next to that place that we were really excited about, but then got a text saying, please cancel. It was right next to that place, so it was in that prime location that we were looking for. And the house on the inside was much better. Plus, it was less than the initial property that we were really excited about. So basically our dream property. It checked all of our boxes, basically. We left the grave and went immediately the next morning to this other place, which was a big breath of fresh air compared to where we were staying. I remember getting there and first thing I did was I took a shower. They had the Amazonian sort of shower head that's on the ceiling, and it was just the most relaxing shower I had taken probably in my entire life. I was just so happy to get out of the grave. Meanwhile, the grave is still rented out in my name for 1 month, because we didn't want to cancel in order to not lose our opportunity to get a refund. So the next thing I do after I get out of my Amazonian shower is that I speak with Airbnb support. I say, hey, could you give us our refund? I tell them what the story is. This place is a safety risk for me and my family. I bumped my head on the ceiling. My wife did the same. I can't stay there. We need to cancel. There's no questions about it. First time, they were like, very understanding. We'll talk to the host. Take care of it. Don't worry. But they said, make sure you don't cancel, because if you cancel, you're not going to get a refund. They take 24 hours. They come back to me basically saying the host doesn't want to cancel. Nothing we can do. I reach out a second time. Perhaps someone more capable can help me. Again, they're very understanding. We'll reach out to the host. We'll let you know what happens. Another 24 hours passes. I get the response, the same response. The host doesn't want to cancel or issue a refund. Nothing we can do about it. I remember reading this message and then I immediately went to go pray Aisha. During my prayer, I got this really strong urge to ask Airbnb a third time. So I reached out to Airbnb a third time. I get a guy called Fredo. And from here on out, I will affectionately refer to him as Alfredo because he brought the sauce. When I was describing what happened to me, he got really emotional. And as if he took it personally almost and was like, yeah, this is not okay. I'm going to take care of it. Don't you worry. And it was almost like I was trying to calm him down, you know, he was that sort of invested. But naturally, even though I felt a lot of passion on his part, I was still skeptical because of my experiences, my previous two experiences. Within a couple of hours, I get a message from Airbnb that my reservation was canceled and a full refund was on its way. Alhamdulillah. Amazonian shower again. So, alhamdulillah, that worked out. Meanwhile, my wife and I are loving this new place that we rented out, which was much better than even the first one that we were really excited about. And in fact, subhanAllah, I can see the first one from my balcony. So we got the same exact location, but a better house, alhamdulillah. We secured a longer-term rental agreement, and rent per month is around $1,700. Not cheap, I know. It's three-bedroom. It's in a prime location, as I mentioned. And honestly, we couldn't be happier with it. By the way, I've heard on numerous occasions when I tell someone how much I'm paying in rent, they're like, oh, well, I heard so-and-so, and he's only paying, you know, $50 plus two doner kebabs for his rent. So why are you overpaying? And if you ask them, okay, can I see that other place that this other person is paying so little for? Meanwhile, it's like a tent under an olive tree on top of a mountain or something like that. So, I mean, you get what you pay for, basically. It's not cheap, but also I would say considering, you know, its location, where we are, the house itself, I would say it's not expensive either. All right, hopefully you've learned something from this or at least found it entertaining. Like if you did, subscribe for more. Wassalam.
Thank you for listening to the Practical Islamic Finance Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it and would like to leave us a review, we would greatly appreciate it. Until next time, take care. Assalamu alaikum and peace be upon you all.